You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
With me is Lee Adler from Liquidity Trader. And Lee, I've been seeing a couple of your tweets and you've been fairly prolific with your tweets recently. And the one that really caught my eye and will catch a lot of South African investors' eyes is gold looks terrible. You've been a fan of gold. You've been right on it. But now you're saying gold looks terrible. On what do you base this presumption?
Well, I don't want to get too technical, but 1280 is a really important support level. And if it goes, that's like the death knell, I think, for the 3 to 4 year cycle on gold. It would clearly be an important breakdown, and it would signal a resumption of the secular bear market that gold has been in since, 2011. So, you know, keep an eye on 1280 today. That's the key number. It broke trend support. I mean, it broke an uptrend line this morning when it opened in New York. So that was another signal. But since then, since 9:30 a.m. New York time this morning, both gold and silver, silver gapped below support, and it looked like it was really headed for a crash. But they've both come back, and they both come back to test the point of the breakdown. So they may be teasing us. This might be like a false breakdown, and, you know, it could turn into a nice rally. And today's like a really, really important day in that regard. So we'll have to see where we are later this afternoon and whether they can maintain some buying above this 1280 support level, because if they don't, get out.
Yeah, well, it's interesting as well because of the euro-dollar exchange rate. The dollar being weaker against the euro, and yet the gold price coming down, which is very strange, yeah. I think. I mean, normally that is a traditional relationship that goes in the opposite direction.
Now, when I was in Europe for 4.5 months, the euro-dollar exchange rate was always around 113. It seemed to be just kind of fluctuating up and down maybe a penny.
Yeah.
So I think it needs to get below 112. It's not below 112 yet, is it?
No, it's 113.05, actually. It's quite the opposite.
Yeah, 115. Yeah, the dollar's weakening at 115. That sounds like a breakout for the euro. So that is interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So the dollar's on a weakening path. The euro is strengthening. The gold price is
I got out of Europe just in time.
Yes, you did. And Europe is very grateful that you have got out of it. You were talking about 2900 being a big round number. I love your round number analysis on one of your tweets the other day. 2900, of course, being the level on the S&P. And suddenly it's the easiest game in town. You buy the stock market. For the last 3 months, you buy the stock market. What on earth is going on?
Yeah, here we are right now. I'm looking at my screen. We're at 2899.52.
Right.
So and we broke out on Friday a little bit, got to 2908. And that didn't sustain this morning, but the pattern is still bullish. Really for the bears to have a shot, and, you know, I'm kind of sort of a preternatural bear, but I'm going to call it as I see it. I would love to see it break down, but the S&P needs to get below 2860. So in between 2860 and 2900, the bears might have a shot, but unless it breaks below 2860, I think the trend is still very strong, and right now it's still hanging around 2900. If it takes out 2908 on the upside, then we're almost certainly going to go to at least a minor new high, breaking that 2940 level. I have cycle projections now. The 10-12 month cycle is one of the most important swing cycles that I watch.
Yes.
And when you look at that reversal that we had back in December, that it formed a big what technicians call a reverse head and shoulders pattern.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when it broke through the neckline, and you do a traditional technical measurement, it pointed to a high of like 3,300,
3,350. Wow.
And the there's no guarantee we're going to get there, but that's the potential of the move. In the traditional technical analysis, well, I do something called centered moving average projection, which is a method under cycle analysis. And my 10-12 month cycle just as of Friday gave us the first projection to the upside for that cycle. And lo and behold, it's 3,300 to 3,350. So, if you're a bear like me, it's
depressing.
It's disconcerting. It's depressing. It's like, what the heck is going on? And I know it's being driven by leverage. That I know from my liquidity work. I mean, that obviously the central banks aren't adding money right now to push this thing. So from a liquidity standpoint, this shouldn't be happening, but traders can create their own leverage by using margin, using repo, and extending their leverage ratios, and that's what's going on. So ultimately, it will end badly, but as long as they're continuing to behave this way, then we have to consider the fact that the trend is your friend. And this has been one of the clearest uptrends I've ever seen.
Yeah, the trend is your friend, but the trend was your friend in December when the S&P nearly fell 9%. And then suddenly, from nowhere, Jerome Powell, dear JP, came out and said, no, we're not going to raise interest rates. Who told you we were going to raise interest rates? Interest rates are in fact going to stay the same. And if anything, there'll be quantitative easing rather than quantitative tightening. And Mr. Trump is absolutely right because he's a genius economist, and I'm going to follow him. And suddenly the market took off. Is there any way that the V-shaped recovery, which has formed the reverse head and shoulders that you've been talking about without getting too technical, is there any level that it can break in order to destroy that very, very powerful pattern?
Well, 2860 would be the beginning. It's interesting, too, because there's another cycle, a little bit shorter, 6 months, that I'm seeing signs that it is topping out. Now, it's a little overdue for a top now. So let's say this week, if the market doesn't make any more progress to the upside, then I think we have a shot at reversing this thing. But if it does, if the market does break out here and move through this little high we had on Friday of around 2911, then I think the bear case is dead, at least for months. And this week, if they don't get any traction here, and it looks to me like they're making a little double bottom on the intraday chart right now. So by the time folks out there hear this, looks like 2903 in the very, very short run, just on an intraday basis, that's a key level. So if they get above that, I think it's going to be off to the races to the upside. Then on the downside here, just looking at today's intraday chart, 2896 on the downside. If they can get below that, then I think we can get something going, maybe down to 2880 or so. But we're talking pennies here. I mean, this is day trader stuff.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the big picture is something a lot bigger, and that is the fact that Disney boosted the market on Friday. And isn't it amazing that these are not people that are making cars or producing steel or contributing.
Yeah, making,
They're giving us a streaming service, which is $4 a month cheaper than Netflix. And I don't feel sad about it. I just think to myself how things have changed. The fact that a company like Disney, who's going to give us $7 a month streaming, watching pretty awful movies, quite honestly, is boosting the stock market and making people wealthy. It's very strange to me.
Isn't it ironic, though, that Disney, basically their business is creating fantasy. They have their theme parks. They have their movie theaters. But they are also, in the United States, in the news business. And, ABC News is one of the big – ABC is a unit – the American Broadcasting Company is a unit of Disney. And ABC News has been a news powerhouse in the United States of America for decades. So, they're in the business of creating fantasy – and at the same time, they're in the business of reporting news. So, it just blows your – if you stop and think about it, it's mind-blowing. And all of the media companies, it's the same thing. Fox News is the worst because they're clearly engaged in fantasy propaganda. And it's just how is it that fantasy companies are delivering the news to us? It's fake news is all around us, but – certainly, I would trust them before I would trust the propaganda coming out of the U.S. government and those that support it.
Yeah, we could talk about politics all day, but I mean, it just seems to me that this Teflon-coated President Donald J. Trump is going to continue to prosper. The latest Jerome Powell, anti-Fed, tweets that he sent out are quite extraordinary. Yeah. He said that the U.S. stock market, he didn't mention, he said the market would be up 5,000 to 10,000 points higher if the Fed had done its job. What?
Yeah, print money.
Hello?
Print money. The job is to print money. Well, you know, look, there's a lot more inflation than the official figures recognize. And the U.S. economy is basically limping along. I look at the real-time tax data to see what's happening, and it's not as strong as people think. It's not as weak as people think. It's sort of on the precipice of it could break down, but it's not breaking down. Actually, there's a lot more job formation, if you believe the withholding tax data. There's a lot more job formation than the Bureau of Labor Statistics non-farm payrolls data would indicate. But they're all lousy, low-paying jobs.
Yeah.
People aren't making any money. They're basically subsisting. And it's only those.
So they're burger flippers, in other words.
Yeah, exactly. Or they're, you know, Walmart greeters, and or they're driving Uber or Lyft cars, and Uber and Lyft have been cutting the payout rates to their drivers. And basically you can't make any money driving an Uber. It's really a shell game right now, and it's only those at the top that are kind of moving this thing. And, you know, they might, the retail sales data is very interesting because it's basically flat. You know, there's all these jobs being created, but there's no increase in sales. That's because the jobs that are being created doesn't allow people to buy anything. So the retail sales aren't growing. And those at the top are basically maybe pulling in their belts a little bit and taking their savings and buying stocks with it, perhaps. None of this strikes me as healthy. The U.S. economy is being hollowed out slowly but surely. The whole world is seeing the middle class being, you know, shrunk, and people falling below the middle class income levels. So it's, in the long run, it's unhealthy. It can't be sustained without some kind of a cataclysm down the road.
Yeah, we've been saying that for years, though, Lee. Unfortunately, it's going to carry on for a long time. I mean, the jobs data business is a very interesting one. I mean, I could create a lot of jobs in South Africa by saying, well, there's 100 chaps, okay, and you come to this field in the morning, you dig a hole, and then you get another 100 chaps in the afternoon after those chaps had toiled for 3 hours, and fill that hole in, please, and I will give you a subsistence amount in order to go and buy some food and some toilet paper and to look after your family. But it doesn't create any spending. But in the job statistics, it looks absolutely fantastic. I've just created 200 jobs.
Right, that's what we're seeing in the U.S. Exactly, and the jobs growth came roaring back in March after that very low number in February that I think the last time we talked I told you looked bogus. Mm. So yeah, there are jobs being created, but they're at the lowest wage levels, and that's not a good thing. You know, people and the jobs that are being lost are high paying jobs. And then the people turn around and they're used to making a high wage, and then they go to a subsistence wage, and their spending patterns are sharply cut back. People don't have discretionary income to spend on luxury items. So, again, it's a hollowing out of the U.S. economy.
Lee Adler, how do we get hold of you, please?
Well, you can read my free stuff at WallStreetExaminer.com a couple times a week. And the proprietary trading services and liquidity analysis is at liquidityTrader.com.
Lee Adler from Liquidity Trader, thanks very much for your time and insight. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with ShareNet.co.za.